in it. Isn't that beautiful? Being here, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Isn't that beautiful? We don't take it lightly that we got to be here. So let's open with prayer. Let me give you the word that God's given me. He changed my sermon this morning. I was trying to get away from that, but he won't let me get away from it. So we'll give you what the God gave me today. Father, I praise you and I thank you for this word. Thank you for the revelation that you have afforded this vessel. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that the hearts would hear it and it would take root and it would grow in their hearts, Lord, because we are the army of God and we need you, Lord. Without you, we are nothing. Let it strengthen us in our times. Let it be the words that we cling to when the enemy comes, when the thoughts come, when it doesn't look like the mountains are moving and the valley is so deep. We thank you, Lord, that you lift us up with your words. I pray now, Father, that this vessel, it surrenders totally to you in word and thoughts and deed. Nothing come forth from this vessel but what you desire, Lord. Let my thoughts and my words be yours and my actions, Lord. You have your way, Holy Spirit, today, and dwell in this place as you already do. I bind and rebuke the enemy, his plans, his will. He has no power, Father, in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. 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 So we had a ministerial meeting yesterday, and God had given me a command or instructions to prophesy over them. And for some reason this morning, he won't let that go for me. He won't let me get away from that. I had another sermon already prepared. He wouldn't even let me open it up. I have not been able to look at it again because I don't feel that the Spirit wanted me to teach that yet. So I'm going to teach you the word that he gave me today, which actually I started this sermon. He started downloading this to me back in August of last month. And he gave me some prophetic word on some prophetic revelation, I should say, on Friday. And so I'm going to get to share it with you all to encourage you. So I come across this meeting that we were going to do for the ministerial class, a get together just to, you know, socialize and come together in a meal, just a little, you know, a little something together, all as one, and let them ask questions to the pastors of this church, any questions they have ministerially. And he gave me the word fast breaks, gave me those words, fast breaking. And so I struggled with that for a little while, and I was like, Father, what do you mean by fast break? And I didn't even mention it yesterday. I was so tied up in the command that God gave me. But fast break means that we are quickly going from the defense to the offense. If you know anything about basketball, it's a strategic offensive move designed to capitalize on the element of surprise and quickness to gain an advantage over the opposing team's defense, a fast break. What God had told me, he says, I'm changing things. Things are quickly changing. And this is before everything that's happened in this world. He gave me this word. And I see now we're one offense against the kingdom has flourished and caused many to step forward. And if you look, it's an army. It's an army. Fast break means that we are no longer on the defense. We are no longer walking around here trying to keep the enemy from scoring. But we now have the ball. And we're walking over into his territory to take back what is ours. That was the idea. Friday, I was praying about what I was going to talk about to this group of ministers in our church, and God took me to Ezekiel 37, if you want to go ahead and turn there. That's where the meat of this service will come from. And what I'm trying to get across today is God is doing his part. You are equipped for what he has called you to do. And if we do our part, it will be accomplished. We have to do our part. Our part's not hard, though. A lot of people think it's hard, but it's not. So as I was reading Ezekiel 37, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter. You can go back and read it if you like. But we typically call, you know, Ezekiel's been called to prophesy to these dry bones in the valley. And the first thing he told him to do, he said to prophesy to him, to have breath, to have sinewin, S-I-N-E-W-S, to have flesh upon you, to cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. God gave me revelation Friday night as I was studying that, and this is what he said about that. God is putting in us, and he already has through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but a lot of us are not operating in it. He says, I am putting sinewin in you, and I probably didn't pronounce that right, but what that is a tendon in your body that connects the bone to the muscles. God says, I am giving you connection, structure, and support. That's what that represents. He said, I am putting that in you. The next thing he says, I will bring flesh upon you. When you look at the word flesh, it means muscle. God told me, he says, I am giving you my strength. What did Paul say? When I'm weak, I am made strong. That means I'm weak in my own self, but I'm strong in him. The third thing he said is, I will cover you with skin. Skin is protection for your body, for your organs. Keeps bacteria and those things that try to get into your body. When you get an infection in your body, chances are you've had a cut or compromise in the skin. Jesus was the skin and the blood shed for us, was he not? This is my body. It's broken for you. This is my blood. It's poured out for the new covenant. That was the sacrifice. He was our lamb. And the last thing that it says, I will put breath in you. And you remember he told him to prophesy to the four winds. Oh, breath, and breathe on these that slain that they may live. God told me, said, yes, you have my spirit dwelling within you. But I am putting my word in your mouth. My very breath is in your mouth that you may live. I thought it was interesting. He said, for those that were slain, these that were slain. How many of you all gone through life and you feel like you've been slain? The enemy has had the advantage. I'm here to tell you, it's fast break time. You are walking now in power and authority. This is what God has put in us, what he has promised us. And if you look at Luke 9 and 23 in the New King James Version, it says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That's Luke's translation. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and he is himself destroyed or lost? Maybe sometimes we feel like we're slain because we keep trying to live our own lives. Maybe because we keep trying to not deny self, let self have what it wants, not take up our cross and follow Christ in the life that he exemplified for us. Maybe that's what it is. If you go down to Ezekiel 37 and 12, there's a part that you see that the people start complaining. God says this is the complaint that they have. And they complained about, you know, where they were and what was going on. And he said in verse 12, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves. and bring you into the land of Israel, which was the promised land. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. These are revelations that we're seeing. Are you in a fast break moment? Spiritually, we are in a fast break moment. We are the army of God. We should be walking in His power and His authority. Pastor preached this a few weeks ago. You have the ball. That's why the enemy is so hard against you right now. But he says, I'm going to open up your graves and cause you to come out from them and bring you into a land, your land. I put my spirit in you, and you will live, and you will be in your own land. This is prophetic to you all, to us all, the church. So if you look down in Romans 8, and this is New Living Translation, this is a lot of scripture, but I want to read it. It has a very good meaning with what is being spoken today. It says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. Do you belong to Christ? When those torturing spirits come and remind you of all the things you had done or haven't done or maybe you failed at, we teach here, you know, we're going to fall. You get back up. The shame is not in falling. The shame is staying down and not getting up. But Christ says there is no condemnation for those who belong to Him. When the enemy comes and makes condemnation, who is he's the accuser of the brethren, isn't he? He's the accuser. That's what he does. You take authority over that, and you put it back in its place where it doesn't belong with you. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fulfilled and satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature. Now, there's a choice there. No longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit, capitalized, meaning Holy Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Anybody need a little life and peace? I know I do. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You have the power to tell it no. You have the power to resist it. You have the power to make it flee, make that urge go away. But if you live by its dictates, you will die, talking about the sinful nature. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. children. That's why it's so important that he put his spirit in you so that you shall live. And Jesus said it even better. He said, I give you life, but just not life, life more abundantly. That means here and to come, I have life and life more abundantly. I don't want to miss out on that. Ezekiel 37, 15 through 17. This is in the New King James Version. These were the other words that God showed me. He instructs Ezekiel to grab two sticks. Now, at this time, there were two kingdoms of Israel. There was the north and the south, and they were not one. And this was signifying to them that they would one day be one kingdom, if you read the rest of it under the rule. But for us, as children of God, I understood it, and God revealed it to me Friday, that if we do this, we will become tools in the master's hand. The verse reads, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, as for you, son of man, take a stick for yourself and write on it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. Then join them one to another for yourself into one stick, and they will become one in your hand. God revealed to me, Judah represented the Messiah tribe. That was the kingly tribe. That was the tribe of Jesus. This is where the king come from. This is where our Savior come from. And then he named the other one Joseph. Who was Joseph? Joseph was the favorite child, was he not? Got him into trouble, but he was the favorite child. Remember his brothers put him in a pit? Oh, yeah. Joseph was also prophetic. In the jail, he understood the interpretation of the dreams of the baker and the cup holder, if I'm not mistaken. Despite betrayal, despite false accusations, despite the abandonment, he, by God, was put in a place of honor in Egypt, second in command, actually. Only the Pharaoh had more control than him. But he was put there for a purpose, to save his people, to save his nation. And God said, if you will join with me, you will become a tool in my hand. This is a fast break moment. This is a choice. I love Romans 6, 11 through 14. It says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. New Living Translation of that last, the 13th verse says, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Do you choose to be an instrument in his hand? Join yourself to Jesus. Salvation, dwelling of the Holy Spirit, submission, obedience to his will, to his word. Have that word in your heart. Study it. Not just read it. Study it. Learn it. Because, you know, Ephesians 6 says it is a weapon. It's an indispensable weapon that we have. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then you've got to have relationship. We talked about this yesterday in the meeting. You just can't come to church once or twice a week and not spend any more time with God. How can you hear him? How could that man of mine have been married almost 37, 38 years? How could we have any relationship at all if all we did was work, sleep, get up next day and start over again. And never have any communication together. Never have any time spent together. Our marriage would have quickly dissolved. Do you all agree with me? Oh, yeah. That's one way to get rid of someone, is cut them off, right? We should be doing that to the enemy. Actually, that was the other sermon I had, but I have to teach that another day. Cut it off. Draw the line. Anyways, that's another sermon. I can't go there. God's not going to let me teach it. But choose to be instruments of God. I like it in Isaiah 41, as I would come in this morning, you all had it up on the screen, kind of, sort of. I walked in here and I was like, okay, God, I'm going to teach this one, not the other one, because there it is on the screen. Okay. All right, it reads, Isaiah 41 says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." Aren't you glad your victory's not on your own? It's in Him. Hallelujah. "See, all your angry enemies lie there confused and humiliated. Anyone who oppresses you will die and come to nothing. You will look in vain for those who try to conquer you. Those who attack you will come to nothing, for I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord, your God. And I say to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you. Though you are lowly worm, O Jacob, don't be afraid, people of Israel, for I will help you. I am the Lord, your Redeemer. I am the Holy One of Israel. You will be a new thrashing instrument with many sharp teeth. You will tear your enemies apart, making chaff of mountains. You will toss them in the air, and the wind will blow them all away. A whirlwind will scatter them. Then you will rejoice in the Lord. You will glory in the Holy One of Israel." Did you catch that thrashing instrument? Are you going to be an instrument in His hands? Join with Jesus. Be obedient. Forge a relationship. Know His words. Now, I want to stop right here and remind you of something very important in this day and age, especially. We don't war against flesh and blood. Not against flesh and blood. Nope. We war against the enemy, the powers and principalities, the world, the darkness of this world. We don't war against flesh and blood. Do not take this as a right for war or violence. It is not. We are fighting a much bigger battle, a much bigger battle. What is our contribution to this? Ezekiel 37 and 23 says, "They shall not defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God." Go on down to 26. It says, "Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them." Oh, Lord, if you know about covenants, praise Lord. "I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My tabernacle shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The nations also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever." My part, what's my part? My part is to put away self. My part is to take up the cross, to deny anything that's not of God. The idols, detestable things, any transgressions. My part is to choose to be holy as He is holy, right? Actually, when you look up the word tabernacle in this, it's a residence. It's a habitation. It's a dwelling place. He said, I will set my tabernacle shall be with them. Shall be with them. Do you remember, you know, what did Paul say? "Do you not know that you are the temple of the living God? that your bodies are the temple of a living God, why would I defile my temple? Ephesians 2 and 19 through 22 says, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all the God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? You are a dwelling place. You are his tabernacle. But that's just not all that he wanted. He just didn't want to just dwell in you or with you. He wanted you to be his sanctuary. What is a sanctuary? This is a holy place. This is a hallowed place. This is a consecrated place set aside for something hallowed and holy. It's the holiest of holies in the temple. And there were only the high priest could go once a year into that place. And they would even tie bells on him in case he died while he was in there because he had sin. That's how precious that place was. Be holy as I am holy. Be holy as I am holy. So we are brought together because of the Holy Spirit. We are in union with Christ through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I like Ephesians 2, same chapter, 13 through 18. It says, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body, on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did. That sounds like a peaceful place, right? He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Do you hear joining together, becoming one instrument? Okay. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his own death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Isn't that wonderful? So we have to choose to be holy. We have to be his sanctuary. This is our part. This is our part. He said in there, he said, they will know that there's a God because they'll see my sanctuary. See my sanctuary. So God put a new nature in us. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopefully confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the Lord, the life God gave, because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Remember, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your own sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupt by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And if you go to 1 Peter, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed into this world. So you now live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You don't know any better. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says, you must be holy because I am holy. So we have some great revelation here. He's given us support. He's given us strength. He's promised us protection. And he's putting his word in our mouth. He's making us an instrument in his hand, a tool to be used to show people him. But our lives have to connect with him. We have to choose to be his tabernacle and to also be his sanctuary. It's a fast break moment in this world right now, and spiritually as well. The harvest is out there. Some prophets say there's a harvest of harvesters coming first. Those that are going to come in and then they're going to go back out and get the harvest. Are you prepared? God's going to do his part. He just needs you to step up and do your part. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for revelation. We thank you for the prophetic word of what you have already done for us. And that you're promising, Lord, that if we will go, if we will choose you, if we'll choose the righteous way, that you will go with us, strengthen us, protect us, guide us, and that you will put your words in our mouth. And we thank you, Lord, because we know your words are true and they won't return into you void. I pray now that this word take root in the hearts of your people, strengthen us, help us to be the army of God we are called to be for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, amen.